Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In chapter 10 of book 1 of Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics, he engages in a discussion that for many of us may seem culturally very distant from where we are. And it's a question about whether the dead are happy or not, and whether their descendants actually affect that. But it's really not quite so distant if we think about the ways in which we still behave, where we talk about a person's legacy and their interests in providing for say their children or for other people who they consider to be, you know, important to them. So let's see what Aristotle actually says. He picks up with this guy Solon, who was one of these traditional seven wise men of Greece. Solon was actually quite an interesting person. He reformed the laws of Athens to the dissatisfaction of both the rich and the many, which is probably a sign that he did it the right way. But the whole story he said there. He was also involved in giving advice to a variety of people all around, and he gave some advice to King Croesus, which Croesus, of course, didn't listen to and ends up becoming captive of the emperor, Cyrus, of the Persians. Solon said, when he was asked about happiness, he said, look to the end. Look to the end of a person's life, and only then can you be sure that they're happy. Now, of course, the punchline is that Croesus himself is incredibly happy and powerful in his lifetime, but then tangles with the wrong person because he gets an oracle that he misinterprets and winds up becoming a captive and serving Persians the rest of his life, losing his kingship, losing a whole bunch of other things in the process. So Solon is saying this to Croesus, who doesn't really grasp the meaning, and Solon is saying you can really only judge a person to be happy after their life is over. And so this raises some interesting questions. Are we saying at this point that while a person actually is happy, we can't with any reliability call them happy during their lifetime, but only after their lifetime is ended? Or are we saying that their happiness actually continues on into, say, their state of being dead? And these are some questions that Aristotle is grappling with. So he says that, Is this the case? Only after a person has actually lived happily and virtuously, demonstrably to other people, can we call that person happy? I mean, some people we can probably say are miserable during our lifetime. That's a bit easier to say, and perhaps some people we can say are not miserable, but they're clearly not happy because they're not, you know, for an Aristotelian, displaying the virtues or cultivating the virtues. They're just, you say, well, you know, watching TV their whole life or something like that. But what about people who really are living the good life according to Aristotle? That is a life of virtuous activity, which does include some external prosperity as well. Well, can we call them happy during their lifetime? So he's going to examine that, but he's also going to examine this in terms of whether people are affected after they're dead by what happens to their descendants. He says, suppose a man to have lived in perfect happiness until old age and to have come to a correspondingly happy end. So we can call that person happy according to Solon's criteria. He may still have many things befall his descendants, some of whom may be good and meet with the fortune they deserve, right? Others, the opposite. They may be bad and meet with the fortune that they deserve. Moreover, these descendants may clearly stand in every possible degree of remoteness from the ancestor in question. He says, now it would be a strange thing if the dead man were also to change with the fortunes of his family. That's one side of the question, right? If Uncle Ralph was a great guy and you know, lived this wonderful life in which he fed the poor and was a big brother to everybody and built great, wonderful monuments that inspired people and, you know, go on and, you know, fought the war, you know, with courage and lived a temperate life, even though he could have indulged himself as much as he liked. And he had all this stuff. Does it matter what happens to his kids or to his cousins or to his nieces and nephews or to his great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren? Does that make a difference in his happiness now as a dead person? Aristotle says it would be a strange thing if the dead man were also to change with the fortunes of his family and were to become a happy man at one time, right? Because let's say things go well for the son. He's only got one kid, right? We'll make it really simple. He's got his son, and things go great for him. But the son has five kids, and all of those kids get hooked on drugs and wind up fighting with each other over the inheritance and squandering it and dying early lives. So does that mean that, call this guy Al, does that mean that he's happy for a while at a certain interval of time, and then he ceases to be happy and becomes miserable when his grandkids are the ones on the scene messing things up? It seems kind of weird if we're talking about the happiness of somebody whose life is over, that they would somehow be happy or unhappy depending on what other people's lives are. Aristotle then also says, would be a strange thing, yet on the other hand, it would also be strange if ancestors were not affected at all, even over a limited period, by the fortunes of their descendants. And you might say, well, maybe Aristotle's just being superstitious, but it does make sense. Why do people think it's so important to have a will, to make sure that their affairs are in order? You know, you could think about it, and you say, well, they're concerned about it in their lifetime because they don't want to think badly about what might happen to their poor kids or their spouse or whoever else. Some people put their dogs and cats in their wills, you know, all these sorts of things. Yes, that's true, but presumably the will represents the will of the person after they're dead. And you say, well, why do they care at all? Maybe we don't think of them as caring at all. And we say, like Aristotle does at one point, we might even doubt whether the debtor can even feel happiness or unhappiness or be happy or unhappy. But Aristotle does seem to think that the dead, in some sense, do in fact enjoy happiness or unhappiness. And he says it does make some sense that what happens with those that you've left behind, it doesn't necessarily just have to be your children, but also the friends that you left behind. Or perhaps if you have a legacy, like you did something for your country or something for your company, something for your town. This is why people want to put their names on libraries and university buildings and hospitals, because they think that that matters for them. And presumably, the thing that they're naming also matters for them as well. A little bit further on, Aristotle is going to say that the happiness of the dead is not influenced at all by the fortunes of their descendants and friends in general, seems too heartless a doctrine and contrary to accepted beliefs. So he does think that it plays some role. Where he will end up taking his final position is sort of a compromise. He will say that the dead are in fact affected by their descendants and the happiness or unhappiness that their descendants experience, but not so much that they go from being happy to unhappy or unhappy to happy. So the dead have either a state of happiness or unhappiness, and it can be increased a little bit or decreased, but it's not going to cross that threshold from happiness into unhappiness or misery or vice versa. So this is kind of an interesting way of thinking about things, thinking about not just our descendants, but also the legacy that we want to leave in place.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.